As you know, there are four accounts of Jesus' passion and death and resurrection in the Gospels. Today, you've just heard Mark's version, the first version that we have historically. Now, last year, you had Matthew's. Next year, you'll have Luke's version. So every 3 years, we do the cycle. And it is only on Good Friday every year that we hear John's version of the passion and death of Jesus. Mark's version was written, most probably, and scholars agree, in Rome, at the time when the persecutions had begun for the early church. Mark wrote his entire gospel to give hope to a wounded people. So Mark's emphasis is for those who feel overcome or hopeless at times. His whole gospel is designed to boost the spirit of those who may suffer. Mark's passion is the shortest of the four gospels that we have. But Mark was not there when Jesus was crucified. So how would he get an account like you have just heard? Well, firstly, the Christian church, each of the communities celebrated Easter in their own way, remembering and recording the events of Easter. It wasn't until 325 at the Council of Nicaea, at the same council where we inherited from the bishops of the church what we understand as Lent, where we get the creed, which we're about to say in a short time, what it is we believe, at that same council. And it was at that council that Easter was formulated in the manner pretty much to which we celebrate it today. So that's one thing. It was the versions and the traditions and the stories of the early church that they hung on to and they passed on. So that's what Mark inherited. He also inherited, of course, his Jewish faith. And Mark is very clear to make sure that he connects this event, this bridge-building event between heaven and earth, as the end of what we understand as the Old Testament and the beginning of the new kingdom. This is the end of everything the prophets had put in place verbally. And the new kingdom is beginning. So Mark is constantly referring to the Old Testament, as we understand, or to scriptures. He says to fulfill scriptures, says it several times, so that this event is clearly for the audience understood that that's the end and this is a beginning. So we keep that in mind this Easter as well. It's a beginning. And we celebrate it in the custom of the church in our time, in our place. But for many of us who sit here today, we have our own issues. We are conscious of the issues of the world, those close to us and those that are distant from us, some of them in the very lands where these stories were kept alive. And so our task during Easter is to try to bring the events of the passion and death of Jesus and then ultimately his resurrection into the relevancy of our life today without being crucified, without being spat on, without being physically punished. How do we make these events relevant? That is Mark's task for his audience, a people who were suffering. So already many of you could identify with where Mark's emphasis is coming from. Mark uses a couple of things in his gospel that the other writers don't use. There's no mention of a woman at the beginning in Simon the leper's house in the other gospels. She pours out expensive oil on and anoints his body. The others don't mention that. They do mention the anointing with the spices that Jesus receives after his body's taken down from the cross. So why would Mark do that? Mark does that because this woman, this unnamed woman, identifies that he is the Son of God. She knew that. So she anoints his body in preparation for death. It is the union or a celebration of the union of that which is godly and that which is human. The human and divine come together in Jesus. She recognises that and puts the oil on his body in preparation. There's no mention of an anointing in Mark's gospel at the end. there isn't time because it's preparation day. So he focuses on Passover, the Jewish custom, because his audience would be familiar with that. Also, there's other intriguing things happen in Mark's gospel that doesn't get mentioned in the others. Some of you may still be stuck with, why is there a naked young man running through the Garden of Gethsemane? We might leave that for another time. But there are little symbols that are placed in there. Some of them are powerful, some of them are curious. The palms, always representative of victory. Always. It's even been carved into the temple pillars that Solomon built. These huge pillars. He carved palms as a sign of victory. If you read the book of Revelation, those blessed who are called to heaven, who are dressed in white, are waving in their hands the palms. So palms was always a sign of victory. The donkey that's mentioned in Mark's gospel is always a sign of peace or peacemaking. Jesus comes in as the peacemaker. That works for you during Easter. I need a peacemaker in my life. Jesus, park your donkey outside my place anytime. He didn't come in on a big stallion like a military warrior. He came in as a humble peacemaker. He doesn't say much in Mark's gospel. In John's gospel, he goes on quite a bit. After Jesus is handed over to Pilate in Mark's gospel, he says 10 words until he breathes his last. So perhaps it is silence this week of Easter, this holy week, that will work for you. Not all the words. Perhaps it is the silence, the stillness, and the simplicity of what we gain from gazing on our palm crosses or the crucified Christ. Find whatever hook works for you this holy week so that you can bear patiently with the suffering Christ, that you can bear patiently through the suffering Christ with whatever pains you in your life at this time. And then on Easter Sunday morning, we bring that before the Lord, and in joyous confidence and hope, we move in to a new era. A year era of peace, of victory, and particularly celebration.